Well, let's pray one more time, and let's ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you know where each one of us is and what's going on with us. And I pray, Father, that you would just speak to each and every heart. I ask you, Father, that the Holy Spirit would work and move and speak beyond our human effort. Oh, Father, that you would accomplish in us eternal things. And Father, that we would do all that you have for us to do in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about something that in a way is simple, but it can be a challenge and can be confusing for a lot of people. We're going to talk about burdens. So often, people don't understand that there are different types of burdens. Some burdens are supposed to be shared, some are supposed to be shouldered, and some are supposed to be shed. We all have burdens, and you need to be able to identify what kind of burden you're dealing with, because if you don't know how to handle that burden, you can end up getting buried. I'm just telling you, you need to know how to handle burdens the right way. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read 1 through 5. And I'm going to read it first in the King James Version. So if you're a King James fan, well, you get happy right now. Because normally I read everything out of the New King James, but here in the King James, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden." In the King James, this looks like such a contradiction. You know, a lot of people think that they find contradictions in the Bible. Well, let me just tell you, when you think that you've found a contradiction, you just don't have all the understanding that there is. And I can assure you that God is not schizophrenic. He's never confused, and he never ever contradicts himself. Now, there are some that, well, you know, they just don't believe the Bible, the scriptures, are really the Word of God. And they would look at a couple of verses right here where in verse 2 he tells us, bear one another's burdens. And then in verse 5 he says, every man shall bear his own burden. And they think, well, there it is. I mean, he can't even go 3 verses without contradicting himself. But we need to understand here that he's talking about 2 totally different kinds of burdens. In fact, the word that's translated burden there is not even the same Greek word. And the New Testament was inspired by the Holy Spirit and written down in Greek. One of the reasons is because it is a very precise language, where many times there was only one Hebrew or only one English word that might have been used there, but the Greek language had different words that give us different meanings. And so we're going to look at one of the more modern translations here, but let's go ahead and read it in the New King James, and we'll just start with verses 1 through 3. But let me just say this. The first one, when he says that we are to bear one another's burdens, he's talking about a heavy load that causes you to trip, to stumble, or even fall under. The second one, when he says every man shall bear his own burden, he's talking about responsibility. So I want to read it now in the New King James, the first 3 verses. It says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Bear one another's burdens. These are the burdens that are supposed to be shared. These are burdens that we should help one another with. It's one of the ways, he says, that we fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? That we love one another as he loved us. And when we bear one another's burdens, it's one of the ways we do that. But if we put it in context, and we certainly should, we see that he's talking about somebody being overtaken in a fault. Now, I want you to know something. This doesn't happen most of the time the way it should in the body of Christ. Most of the time when someone is overtaken in a fault, when they are going the wrong direction, when there is sin in their life. Now, we know we all miss the mark. We all have sin in our life in that regard. But he's talking about someone who is overtaken in a fault. In other words, man, their life is headed in the wrong direction. There is some sin. There's something going on in their life that they need help with. And most of the time in the body of Christ, they don't get restored. Number one, because they hide. But one of the reasons they hide is because rather than someone being there to restore them gently and in that spirit of meekness, too often they're afraid that they'll be judged. And so it's important for us as a church that we create an atmosphere where people know that even if they're messing up, even if they're heading the wrong direction, that we love them and we want to help them. We're not judging them. We're not against them. But we want to see them restored in all that God has for them. And church, this is something that we need to always be working on, that we should always be striving to fulfill this and do this command and fulfill the law of Christ when we bear one another's burdens. You know, he talks about restoring such a one. And, you know, that word to restore means to return to its original condition. You know, we're trying to help that person get going again. We're trying to get them back on track. It's that burden where it's just too much for them. There's a weakness there. And you know what? We all have weaknesses. Some of us are stronger in other areas and weaker in other areas, right? But this is talking about a particular weakness that someone has where there's an area of their life where the enemy has gotten the best of them. And they need somebody to step in and help. You know, none of us likes to admit that we have a weakness, but we all do. In fact, that's why he warns us here to watch yourself, lest you also be tempted. And you know, one of the ways that we can so often be tempted is by pride. And so he tells us, in gentleness, in meekness, you restore them. You don't allow yourself to be prideful or judgmental at all, or you yourself will fall into a weakness. It was a preacher was talking about this particular subject and how everybody has weaknesses. And he said, you know, nobody's perfect except Jesus. And one guy at the back of the auditorium raised his hand and he said, well, I've never met him, but I've heard a lot about him. My wife's ex-husband was perfect. And you know what? We got to watch ourselves, though, not somebody else, that we don't start thinking that we've got it all together. Oh, if we would just remember where the Lord's brought us from. If we just remember, you know, it's amazing to me how people can begin to judge others and be harsh and be critical of others when all of us have been the recipients of the grace of God. And I want to say this, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. But most of the time, if we do it in the right attitude and we really want to help somebody, I'll tell you, if they're sincere at all in their faith and love for the Lord, they want help. But we just can't allow pride in, because it always messes everything up. In fact, let me tell you the first sign of pride getting in when you're talking about restoring people. Somebody thinks that it's their job now to go around and correct other people. Well, I'm just restoring people that are doing wrong, so I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong. You have already fallen in to a sin. Just saying. No, we need to be careful that we keep that right heart and we stay humble before God, and that when we bear one another's burdens, you know, when you really do that, they thank God for you. They don't thank God when you leave. They thank God for you. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. Is there somebody that comes to mind who maybe God would use you to help restore? Somebody that's heading the wrong direction, or maybe somebody that is no longer really serving the Lord, no longer in church and not involved in the things of God. Maybe God would use you. You know, Jesus talked about the shepherd who leaves the 99 and he goes and he looks for the one. And we all need to be willing to be used of God in that way. There's so many who are out of church and have been overtaken in a fault. I think that the principle of sharing a load that's too heavy, it's not only, I think the primary thing here is talking about somebody has been overtaken in a fault, but I think that it also applies to other situations where there's some burden that's just too heavy for someone, and you can step in and help. Maybe somebody's going through a time of great sorrow. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one, or maybe they're going through a divorce, or some other tragic event has happened in their life. And those are times when we need to weep with those who weep. We need to bear one another's burdens and help them through that time. You know, it's sorrow is something that happens to all of us, but God comforts us, the Bible says, so that we can comfort others. It's 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. He says, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Many years ago, there was a pastor who had a lady in his church who lost a child, and he tried to console the woman, and he spent a lot of time counseling with her and trying to help, and it just couldn't seem to really help her. And then he remembered a lady in the church that had been through the same thing some years earlier. And so he contacted that lady and he had her sit down with her. And he said within 5 minutes, she was able to do more than he could have ever done. And so, you know, So many of us have been through some things. God brought us through. There are other people going through the same things, and we can bear one another's burden and help them get through that difficult time. Help them in their trial of faith. What a difference that makes in the body of Christ. That's the way church is supposed to be. But we got to be willing to put ourselves aside and sometimes put ourselves out to help somebody else. I read this third verse, and I just want to bring your attention back to it one more time. He says, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And there it is again, that we are all the recipients of God's amazing grace. We have so freely received of his grace. And, you know, if we're anything at all, it is by God's grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, that doesn't go away, go along with, you know, the good old American philosophy of the self-made man. I am what I am because I earned it and I made my own way. But listen, all of us who've had the grace of God work in our lives, we are what we are. If we're anything at all good, it's by the grace of God. Paul said he was the chief of sinners, and I'm just thinking, well, he didn't know me. You know what I'm saying? He was before my time then. But we all need God's grace, and so we got to not think of ourselves as something. If we think we're something, that, you know, we deceive ourselves. And so when we keep that humility, we keep that right spirit, then we're able to truly restore others and help others instead of judging. Bear one another's burdens. That's the kind you share. The second type of burden, as I said, is that type of burden that is a responsibility. In Galatians 6, 4 and 5, I'll read it in the New King James now. It says, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. You notice in verse 4, he's telling us that we should examine or make sure that we are doing, you see, what we're supposed to be doing. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you can be glad about that. I'm fulfilling my responsibility. And he says it very plainly there in the New King James. It's, each one shall bear his own load. These are the burdens shouldered. I got to tell you, these are the burdens that we take on ourselves. We can't look for somebody else to come, hey, can you take my responsibilities? Well, that's just the theme of the day, isn't it? We want to pass the buck, and it's just so much a part of our culture right now that, you know, somebody else take responsibility. Everybody likes to talk about responsibility until it comes to their own, but I'm just telling you, it is so much a part of our culture right now to just pass the buck and want to blame somebody else. But you know what? The Bible holds us accountable. It tells us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, and tells us what we're not supposed to do. And he tells us that we're going to be accountable. It's not your fault. It's the way your parents raised you. Maybe your mother was too dominating. Your father was too distant. Maybe it's because they made you play with dolls. Or maybe it's because they didn't let you play with dolls. Or maybe it's because they fed you too much. Or maybe it's because they didn't let you eat enough. But, you know, it's not our fault. And I don't want to be trite about that. I know that things in the past can become a struggle. But let me tell you something. Jesus can help you put your past in the past. And he certainly can give you the strength you need to bear your load, to fulfill your responsibilities, to do what you were supposed to do. When we blame others, we're not only shrugging off our own personal responsibility, but we're developing a victim's mentality. See, when we get to the place where we're blaming others, then we're saying that whatever happened to us before and the way things are, that controls me. No, I'm telling you, that's not God's plan for you. He wants you to get victory. And it's amazing, though, how we can end up blaming our family. We can blame the government. Why, we can even blame the church. Somebody else's fault. But we have to take responsibility ourselves. You know, when we blame others, one of the things that we kind of get to is like, why didn't somebody else help me with this? Maybe it's a responsibility that we ourselves have to shoulder. You know, the Bible makes it real clear. We have a responsibility to work and provide for our family. I've met a few who thought they didn't need to work because the government ought to provide for them, and some who thought, well, I don't need to work because the church can provide for me. Just saying. Along with that, we have a responsibility. When we do work, we have a responsibility, according to the Scripture, to work hard. Now, here's the blame. Here's the excuse. Well, they don't pay me enough. Well, they don't treat me right, so I'm not going to work hard. Well, you need to read the Bible then, because the Bible says in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You work unto the Lord, no matter what you're paid, no matter how they treat you, because you're not just working for men. You're working for God. We have a responsibility to work hard. We have a responsibility to give God his tithe. We got a responsibility to pay. Now, all these things, I could quote you scriptures, all right? But I'm not going to keep you here for 3 hours, so I'm just spitting them out here. But we have a responsibility to pay taxes. Well, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't know Jesus then, because Jesus believed in it. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And he paid taxes. I don't know if he liked it, but he paid them. You know, y'all hear me talk about pop theology? We also got redneck theology. Anyway, just moving right along. We got a responsibility to pay our bills. Got a responsibility to take care of our children, to discipline them, to raise them in the fear of the Lord, and to take them to church. I know that, you know, maybe the government and this and that is encroaching in on your rights as a parent, but I'm telling you, it is like 1/100% of the rights of a parent that have been abdicated away, just given away. Listen, the problem with children today is not the government's interference. It's not the school system's interference. It is parents not taking responsibility to train up their own children. And I'm going to do it again, but on Wednesday night, we'll do a series on parenting and raising children. And it's amazing to me how they stay away in droves. Like, oh, we got this. No, you don't. I'm just telling you what's going on in our culture and even in the church. Blame it. Oh, it's Hollywood. Well, it's the internet. Get control. Take responsibility. Well, you know, it's the church's job to teach them. No, it's not. The church comes alongside to help and to strengthen. But listen, Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today, they shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them. Well, that must mean down at the church, right? No, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You teach the Bible to your kids. Now, I know that for a lot of Christians, that's going to mean they're going to have to learn it. That ain't a bad thing. No, but it's our responsibility to train our kids up, to teach them right. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child on the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, I trained them up, and one of them just went the wrong way. Well, that's when you stand on the promise. You stand on the Word of God, and you say, the Bible says train them up, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. But I got to tell you as a pastor that most of the time when people say, well, I trained them up, I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You taught them that church wasn't important. Moving right along. Man, I'm just meddling tonight, aren't I? Let's get this, though. We have responsibilities that we are to shoulder. And we can't pass the buck. We can't pass it off on the government or the church or anybody else. They're our responsibilities. And you know what? Most of us, we're so blessed. To whom much is given, much is required. We have a great responsibility as we serve the Lord to fulfill His purpose in our life. You know what? We have a responsibility to pray for one another. 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel, he says to these people, he says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. You got somebody you need to be praying for? Well, there's two things we can learn from this verse. First of all, we as believers have a responsibility to pray for one another. Well, the Bible says pray one for another. So we have a responsibility to pray for one another. See, it's not just, well, you know, if I pray, if I want to, you know. No, we got a responsibility to pray for one another. Here's the other thing that you see here that from what Samuel said. He said, far be it from me to sin by ceasing to pray for you. It's a sin for us to not fulfill our responsibility. See, we always think of sin as some bad thing somebody did. No. To him that knows to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. It's a sin of omission. And when we don't fulfill our responsibilities, it's a sin. When we don't bear that burden of doing what we're supposed to do, the last type of burden is found in Matthew chapter 11. It's 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. The NIV there, instead of heavy laden, he says, burdened. He says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a burden. It's not meant to be shouldered. It's not your responsibility. It's not meant to be shared. You can't fix it yourself, and others can't fix it either. This is a burden that's meant to be shed. It's a burden that you need to turn over to the Lord and trust God with. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, you gotta shed that burden of worry and anxiety and stress. You know, the things that we worry about the most are the things that we have no control over. I mean, if you have control over it, if you can fix it, and instead of fixing it, you're just stressing and worrying over it, well, get your lazy self up off the couch and go fix it. I mean, you know, there are things that we're responsible to do. And if you can fix it, and I'm not talking about in the arm of the flesh, but I'm talking about if there's something that you can take care of and you're supposed to do it, well, don't worry about it. Just fix it. Go do it. But if it's beyond your control, it's not something that you can fix. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot in life that's like that, isn't there? Adult children. You can't spank them anymore. It just can't ground them. I got one in here, so I got to be careful. But yeah, but Y'all know what I'm talking about, those of you with adult children. Some of you got teenagers. That's nothing. You can still do stuff to them. Anyway. No, seriously, though. Not just adult children, spouses, parents, bosses, neighbors, enemies, dealing with somebody else's will. I mean, so much of the time we have no control over somebody else's will. But not just that. There's all kinds of challenges and battles and storms that come our way. We have no control in our own selves. We have no power over. And those things are not our responsibility. But instead, we have to turn them over to God. And how do we do that? Well, we do it in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And as I always say, this is not a 10-second prayer usually, not because God can't take it off your hands in 10 seconds, but so often it takes us a while as we pray to get to the place where we really let it go. I call it praying through. And as I said, listen, if you can turn it over to God in 2 seconds, we'll do that. But sometimes you got to pray for a while before you really let go of it. And I'm just telling you, you know the old song, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit. Burdens that are beyond our power and not beyond His. Remind you again of Samuel. He had a responsibility to pray, and so do we. And we have a responsibility as brothers and sisters in the Lord to restore one. But there are also those times when we just have to pray and turn it over to God and trust Him. You got to know what's your responsibility and what's not. See, Jesus says in this passage, He says, I'm meek and lowly. Learn of me and you'll find rest for your souls. See, our souls should be at rest because we are humble enough to acknowledge that not everything is our responsibility. I'm a fix-it guy. Doesn't matter what it is, I want to fix it. But you know what? There are a lot of things I can't fix. And you got to know when it's not your responsibility. You got to be humble enough to acknowledge that and say, God, I can't do this. And I'm telling you, there is a rest that comes when you know what's your responsibility and what's not. And I hate to pick on the whole family thing, but I'm telling you, one of the things that where people take a responsibility is not their own is when they get to the place. Listen, if you're trying to make your wife submit, you're in a big mess. I'm just telling you. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. You need to know what your responsibility is. We're responsible to do our part in the body of Christ, to obey God and do what He gives us to do to the best of our ability. And as a pastor, I feel great responsibility that there are things that I'm supposed to do. But I've had to learn this the hard way. It is God that gives the increase. No matter how much we plant and water and struggle and strive, listen, it will always be God that gives the increase. Nobody's going to get the glory but Him. It's God that gives the increase. You see, He does the part that we can't do. We have a responsibility. See, we got a responsibility to work. We got a responsibility to be involved in the kingdom, to work for the Lord. But it's God that always gives the increase. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then He says this, because For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Wow. Is your burden light? Is your burden light? Say, oh, I got so many responsibilities. Let me tell you, our responsibilities are not heavy if we just see them as obedience. Just obey God. Just do what God wants us to do. We're not responsible for all the results. He does that. Our responsibility is just to do what we're asked to do, what He tells us in His Word. And I want to tell you that burden is light. So if your burden seems heavy tonight, well, maybe there's something going on in your life, a weakness, a struggle that you need a brother or sister to help you with, to share that burden with. But for many of us, our burden seems heavy because we're trying to carry something that we just need to turn over to the Lord. So I want you to stand with me as we close this service with prayer tonight. I just encourage you, if there's something that's heavy, give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He says, learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So just turn that over to the Lord. Father, I just thank you that you love us so much, that you care for each and every one of us. And Father, even as we would not want our little children to carry a heavy load, I know that you want us to be free from worry and anxiety and fear. And so, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would reveal and show us, Lord, the causes of the stress, anxiety, Lord, that heavy feeling of burden. And Father, that we might just truly yield it to you in faith, Lord. We just cast that care over on you because we know you care for us. And Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for the peace that passes understanding. And I pray, Father, that we would just stand out in this world and shine like a light because of the peace that we have, Lord, the freedom that we have in you. Oh, and Father, teach us and show us and help us, Lord, to learn and to more and more day by day to bear one another's burdens. That you be glorified in that. In Jesus' name, amen.